glory to God. Father, you are faithful. We thank you, Father. You are a faithful daddy God. We love you. We honor you. And we thank you for the opportunity to come together, receive what you have for us today. Today is a divine appointment with you and with one another. And we thank you so much for what you're about to do. We thank you for what you've already done, that each person's life is being touched today in a special way, in a way that we know that we're marked by you, those here, those watching. We thank you, Father, today. Hallelujah. If you agree, say amen. Glory to God. I want to read while you're standing here, Psalm 103 in pre-service prayer. We prayed this morning at the end, and I just want to declare it over us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O our soul, and forget not one of his benefits, who forgives every one of all our iniquities, who heals each one of all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit and destruction, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies our mouth and our desire at our personal age and situation with good, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Say, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm strong. I'm an overcomer. I'm soaring in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you may be seated this morning. Welcome to all of you here. Welcome to those watching. It has definitely become winter here. I would say officially winter has arrived, maybe not officially. I think it's December 21st, but it sure feels like it anyway. Praise God. But we are excited. We're expecting from God. If it's your first time hearing about us, our website is vlfc.church. We have all of our past sermons there. You can also submit your prayer requests, your testimonies. We want to hear from you. God is doing great things in our life, and we're expecting every day to hear testimonies of his goodness. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. Praise God, we've had people come here because of Facebook. Our media mission just launched, and we're here to get the word out over the phone, over the TV, over any available voice that we can get it out so that people can hear the word of God and be saved. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10 a.m., so come early for coffee and fellowship. This Wednesday, there will be no home group this Wednesday. Also, I want to let you know, Friday prayer is still will be at our house from 9 to 10 this Friday. And we have a new thing here to announce, the Salvation Army, ring the bell. We'll have the sign-up sheet over there. Victory Life Family Church is going to be ringing the bell at Baumgars, which is indoors, Friday, December 19th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So Baumgars is a good place because it'll be inside the doors there. So our local Salvation Army team is gearing up for their annual bell ringing service drive to raise funds for 2026. So the Salvation Army funds raised to help local residents through the local ministerial alliance, primarily with their rent, their utilities. It's also used to help with prescriptions, transportation, and other needs. And so 90% of these funds donated stay here in Ogallala to help the community's needs here. And so we have signed up to ring the bell at Baumgars. Like I said, it's indoors. It's Friday, December 19th from 2 to 6. And it could be individuals. It could be couples. It could be a whole family are all welcome to facilitate this. We did this in 1 hour time slot. So if somebody or a couple or a few of you want to do from 2 to 3, and then somebody else from 3 to 4, and then we have 5 to 4 to 5 and 5 to 6. So praise the Lord. We'll have the sign up sheet over there as well. And so as you all know, today's the day. Praise God. Pastor Rodney is one of 1,000 pastors from USA going with the Friends of Zion organization to Israel, December 1st through December 8th for the ambassador. It's called the Israel Ambassador Program. So this is the first group of pastors is a pilot program. Praise God. And so we ask to be praying for him on this historic trip. We have the itineraries over here. And so we have ours on our fridge. And so I have it there so every day I can look. And I also have it on my phone, of course, but so I could be praying over it. We will be posting this on Facebook as well. I'm going to be following Friends of Zion to see how that they do their posts and so that we can share what's going on with your pastor while he's there so we can follow along. And so I just do ask and encourage you to pray for him on this trip. We have the copies of the itinerary and let's see, I believe that's it. I am so excited about this. I'm excited that he gets to go. He's preparing the way for the rest of us. Amen. I'm wearing the Israel blue today. Our good friend Janet brought this back from Israel for me some years ago. And she's also on our board. So hi, Janet. Thank you for my scarf. And so this is just near and dear to our heart. We've always been a supporter of Israel. And so God's heart is it's his heart, you know, praise God. There's so much to say about that. With that, though, also, I want to remind you, we have openings for volunteers. We have the greeters, ushers, video production for our new equipment coming up, our worship team. Praise God. I just know some of you have that beautiful anointed voice. Amen. And to play the keyboard and the piano. Praise God. If it's on your heart to lead a prayer team, to lead a discipleship class, come talk to us. Let's start developing these gifts that God's placed on the inside of you. All you have to do is say yes and step out, and then the Lord's there to meet you. The anointing's there. The people will be there. Praise God. So, amen. This morning for offering, it's offering time. Praise God. I'm just excited. God is doing great things. Before offering, I have one more announcement. The Women's Christmas Party. It will be Saturday, December 13th. And a message will be sent to all of you Saturday, December 13th at our house. And it'll be from 10 to 12. We'll have brunch and just enjoy one another. And we'll also do the White Elephant Gift Exchange. We had so much fun doing that last year. So again, I'll send information out. So that's in basically the 13th. So a little less than 2 weeks away. Praise God. So now it's offering time. And I pray that you all had a blessed Thanksgiving, that your hearts are full of Thanksgiving as it's this season right now. I want to read Psalm 136 together this morning. Psalm 136 for our offering. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We are thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. So let's say this together. For his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. To him who by wisdom and understanding made the heavens, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And I just want to encourage you as we say that, receive his mercy, receive his loving kindness. We're going to finish out this. To him who stretched out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who made the great light, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. I'm going to skip to verse 24. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Praise God. So this morning, as we give our tithes and our offerings, let's give out of a thankful heart because he's faithful. He's our loving daddy God. He is love. And just so you know, when we have a thankful heart, we're content in situations. When we are thankful, we see the good in situations that somebody else might have a reason to complain about. But when we're thankful, how do you feel when someone thanks you, when your children thank you? Don't you just want to give them more? You want to bless them more? Our God, our daddy God, he's looking for ways to bless us. He's looking for ways to show us his goodness, to show us his kindness, to show us his favor. And we are grateful. We have so much to be grateful for. We're grateful we have this church family. We're grateful. Pastors and I are grateful for each one of you. We really are. We're so thankful. We're thankful for you watching. We're thankful for what God is doing here in this Ogallala area, all the surroundings, Oshkosh and Julesburg and all those that come, Llewellyn, Lemoyne. Hallelujah. We're just so grateful for our Father God and for one another. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's say our offering confessions this morning. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. Also, we are calling in, I'll just say this. We are calling in by faith that we have a building of our own, with lots of room for growth, with rooms for prayer, connect groups, praise God, nursery classroom for our children's ministry, young adults, and a fellowship hall to meet and enjoy food and enjoy time together. We want to continue to speak this out. We want to have the vision before us so that we can keep moving forward into the plan of God. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, if you're giving in the room, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you're giving online, the information's on your screen. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. And if you're giving by cash or card, please fill out that whole top area with your name, with your address. And is that everything? And if you're watching online, I said that's on the screen. Also, if you're given online, choose building fund if you're given towards the building fund. Or if you're given towards the building fund in the room, write building fund. And everything above tithes and offering goes into the building for the church building. Amen. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. You're looking exceptionally beautiful here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for Pastor Paula? Yes, we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord with everybody here today. I know we all had a good and a happy Thanksgiving. It's good to have some fellowship with our families and loved ones. And it is good to be back here with church family too. Glory to God. We're going to be continuing on the series of faith. Amen. But specifically, we have this one we started here a few weeks back now called The Four Confessions of Faith. And so we started out looking at these four confessions. And the first one that we saw was the confession of the sinner under the old covenant. And we took a look at that, how John, the forerunner of Jesus, was out in the wilderness and even out by the Jordan River. He was preaching the baptism of repentance. Right. So if you've got sin in your life, you've been living in sin, he is preaching, repent, 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 prepare the way of the Lord. That was his mission. Amen. And so he's out preaching the baptism of repentance. And it said people came to him from the cities and they were confessing their sins, repenting of those sins and being baptized in water in the Jordan River, which was a symbolic of a spiritual cleansing. Right. So they were repenting. They were confessing their sins and they're being baptized in water. Amen. But then John said, hold on. There's one coming who's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Praise God. And so the second confession was the confession of the sinner on this side of the cross unto salvation. Amen. And so when we got born again, how did you do it? You believed it with your heart. You confessed with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. You are born again. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Amen. And then we'll look next after that. Once we're living this life, we know that we've got flesh and that we make mistakes, right? Amen. And so there we saw the believer's confession of sin. And we look over in 1 John chapter 1, you know, if we have sin, you know, we need to confess it. Amen. Because now if I continue to live in sin and I'm just ignoring it, well, you know, I don't really need to deal with that, you know. Well, he's saying what this causes is broken fellowship. And broken fellowship will hinder your walk with the Lord. It will hinder your prayer life. And so a lot of times you may be going through all these faith steps. You're going through the motions, but you're denying the power of it because you're not in fellowship with the power himself. Amen. So there's a clog in the pipeline that is flowing between you and the Father. And so, but he said, I've made a way. He said, if he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to restore our fellowship, and we will confess it before him. So there we're looking at, again, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. Sin has already been judged. He says, no, you come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. And what are we doing at the throne of grace? We're receiving grace. Amen. From grace, you obtain grace. He says, you may obtain grace. Amen. And mercy to help us in time of need. So number one, I can receive mercy. I can receive my forgiveness, whatever I've been stumbling in, whatever I've been falling in, whatever has, you know, if there's ungodly things going on in my soul, things that I've been in bondage to, I can come and I can receive mercy, but now I receive grace, which is the empowerment to live and to be free from it. Amen. I'm not to be in bondage to anything to this world. I'm not to be in bondage to the flesh to continue in these ungodly things. No, be holy as I am holy. Amen. You don't do this in and of yourself. You're not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, you know, me and my willpower is going to get through. I'm going to be strong. No, I'm strong in the Lord, in his word, in the power of his might. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood here. I'm wrestling against principalities and powers. I'm wrestling against the rulers of darkness. I'm not going to overcome them with flesh and blood. Amen. I need some grace from the throne of grace. Amen. And how are you going to get it? Father, Here am I. Now, I missed it this morning. I missed it 100 times last week in this area, but I'm here at the throne of grace, and I'm repenting of it. I'm confessing it as sin. I'm getting it out of my life, far from me. And again, what he's saying, when we're repenting, what are we doing? We're taking steps. So whatever this thing was that's been harassing me, whatever has been dealing with me, I'm going to take whatever measure is necessary to make sure I don't end up going down that path again. Amen. If I've been struggling with something, I'm going to get that out of my house. I'm going to take a different road. I'm going to do whatever it takes to not even put myself in that situation as far as I can see. Amen. And I'm taking that step, but now I'm also saying, Lord, I receive the grace. And I want to thank you that it's so good to be free this morning. Lord, I receive right now. I know this thing has harassed me for the last 20 years, but today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day of my breakthrough. And in Christ, I'm confessing that right now in agreement with the word, I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's all say it together. It's so good to be free. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting me free. Whom the Son sets free is free. Amen. Praise God. John 8:32-36. He has made us free. Glory to God. We are to be in bondage to no one or no thing. Amen. Glory to God. And now the fourth confession of the believer is the believer's confession of faith. Amen. So we don't want to get too much on the negative side. A lot of times what can happen is people become far too sin conscious. I'm aware of my sin. I'm aware of my failures. I'm aware of my shortcoming. And so they're constantly repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting of sin, but they're never stepping back and taking that next step and receiving their grace to be free. But they're also not confessing who they are, what they have, and what they can do now that they're in Christ. They're just focused on, I've got sin, and I got to get sin out of my life. I got to get sin out of my life, instead of, greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, standing on and confessing on the other side of this, well, this is who I am. Amen. I'm reigning in life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. But if all I'm doing is aware of, I've got sin, I'm trying to get rid of sin, you're going to go where you focus. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. What he is saying here, if you will awaken unto the fact that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and if you'll focus on this, if you'll have an awakening unto that, just going down that road will cause you to live righteously. It will cause you to act and to speak and declare righteous things. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, hard copy, electronic copy, whatever you have, let's hold it up big. Amen. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. And I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Again, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed or in action, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:12, amen, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Amen. We go in the name of Jesus. He said, you go preach the gospel. You go in my name, you cast out the devil. In my name, you go lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Whatever you're doing, you do it by faith in Jesus' name, and he'll be right there to back it. Amen. He is personally present. When you invoke the name of Jesus into a situation by faith, he is personally present, ready to do that work.
Yeah.
He is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. When I declare the name of Jesus, I'm declaring the whole volume of the book. He is all of that. Amen. He authored this. Amen. Holy Spirit moved on men to write it down, but he is the author, he is the source, and he is the finisher of every word. Amen. Jesus said every jot, which is basically every dot on every I, every cross on every T, amen, it'll all be fulfilled, every bit of it. Amen. I am the fulfillment. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when we declare the name of Jesus, recognize, understand what's really going on. All of heaven, all of the power of God is being released into that situation. Amen. When we put our faith in alongside that, amen, understanding what this is, what I'm really declaring, this in the spirit is what's happening. Amen. We're going to see more about that today. The title to today's message is Your Victory is in Your Mouth. Amen. It, the Word of God, your victory, it's voice activated. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to be looking here. Our foundation text is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says, but what does it say? The Word of God, it's near you in your mouth and it's in your heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. Now, when you look back, this is Paul. He mentions this more than once. I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. He says, I'm preaching the gospel. But now over here, he says, this is the word of faith which we preach. Well, Paul, I thought you were preaching Christ. I thought you were preaching the gospel. Yes. And you call this the word of faith. Again, what the Bible is the word of faith, the entire Bible. But what he also says here, and we unpack this in times past, he says in verse 8, the word is near you. What he is saying here, the word is, it's easy to be entreated. It's easy to be understood. It's easy to be received and acted upon. You know, and when you back up in that passage, we saw this is not something where you have to go and climb Mount Everest. I don't have to swim the ocean. I don't have to do some great feat or task to attain to the Word of God. He's saying, no, it's near you. It's easy to be believed. It's easy to be received. It's easy to be acted upon. And therefore, it's called the Word of Faith, not the Word of Works, not the Word of Do's and Don'ts. It's the word of faith. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The word of faith which we preach. He says that if you will confess with your mouth. Amen. That sounds pretty easy. All I've got to do is say. I don't have to go and do this and do that and the other. I've got to say. He says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Amen. So we looked at this here recently, believing, we believe with our hearts. I don't believe with my head. I don't believe with my body. When he says that we believe with our heart, what he is saying is, again, I'm believing with my spirit man. Man is a three-part being. I am a spirit being. I have a soul made up of my mind, my will, and my emotions. And at present, I live in a physical, natural body. Amen. The body's not the real me. This is just my suit of clothes for my spirit man. I'm not a mind, right? I am a spirit. Amen. God is spirit. John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who will worship him must worship how? In spirit, not in body. Amen. Now, I'm supposed to do something with my body, but I'm going to worship God first and foremost, spirit to spirit. It says, and in truth, which is his word. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is a spirit. Amen. We contact God through our spirit. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. If I'm believing with my spirit, man, amen, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The greatest miracle known to man is that right there, the new birth. Amen. Healing, raising people from the dead is wonderful, but that's nothing compared to the new birth. We're talking about I'm eternally headed to the lake of fire. Satan, because of Adam, Adam chose once for all men. For because of his choice, every man born is born spiritually after its own kind. So in birth, I was born in sin. So the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam, all men die. He's not talking about naturally. He's speaking spiritually. He says, but in Christ, all men live. Amen. I have eternal life in Christ, or I have the nature of death, the sin nature, according to Adam, because of his fall. So spiritually, everybody is connected really to two people. You're either connected to Lucifer, who fell and now is Satan, the devil, or you're connected to, or you are in Christ. Amen. Every man has two options: remain in the devil or be joined into Christ. You're going to spend eternity based on that decision. And what he is saying is, this is the word of faith which we preach. All you got to do is believe it in your heart. And out of your heart, you're going to speak a confession of faith and declare, Jesus, you are Lord. And there's nothing that all of hell can do to stop that. There's nothing they can do. And in a moment of time, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is not going to be. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. That is the greatest miracle you will ever see in your life. That right there. Amen. Everything else is secondary. Amen. It's wonderful to live in divine health and to get your bills paid and do all these other things. Amen. But it pales in comparison to the new birth. Amen. This impacts your eternal being. Getting healed today will affect your flesh for the next few years until Jesus comes, if we have that long, right? Amen. But we're talking about eternity. But glory to God. But we're going to look here, because what we see in this passage is how everything works in the kingdom. This is the word of faith which we preach. When you look at what Paul preached, he was preaching the gospel. But what we saw was included in the gospel was not just the salvation of your spirit man. The gospel included your provision. The gospel included your peace. The gospel included every part of your well-being, including the healing of your body. We saw this with the man at Lystra. It says that Paul, I believe over in Acts chapter 10, was preaching the gospel. And yet Paul perceives there's a man in the audience. And it says, Paul perceived that man had faith to be healed. And so Paul just kind of steps out and says, hey, young man, stand up on your feet, rise and walk. And the man had the faith. He just didn't know what to do with it. So Paul spoke and gave him a faith command. And the man leaped up, gained the strength. Amen. He had never walked a day in his life. Amen. Healing is in the gospel. It's a part of it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to take a look at this. It says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is a principle. This right here is a faith principle. This is not only true concerning salvation, amen, but it is a faith principle or a spiritual law that governs faith and how it operates. With the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. Again, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach. Amen. A couple of examples of this. So again, with the heart, we believe unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you got born again. But healing comes the exact same way. With the heart we believe, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. Well, if I were healed, well, I guess I am healed, aren't I? Again, I'm not believing according to my body. I'm not believing according to my mind. I believe with my heart, or I believe according to my spirit. Spirit and truth, the word of God. My spirit man agrees with truth. So if at some point you believe the truth that Jesus is Lord, and that if you would confess as the word God tells you to, you would be saved. At some point in your life, if you want to live in healing, you're going to do the exact same thing. I believe 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes, I was healed. So, body, if I were to ask you how you felt today, you would have another report. Mine, if I was going to ask you how we're feeling today, you would also have a report. But whose report shall I believe? You get to decide. Every day, everybody all over this planet is deciding. A lot of Christians are deciding. I'm going to agree with body, I'm going to agree with mind, or I'm going to agree according to truth out of my spirit. Amen? And so I chose a long time ago to believe the report of the Lord. I heard this message. I heard faith preached. And I heard it for myself starting back in 2010. And I just grabbed hold of it. Amen? And I've been walking in healing ever since. Now, there have been a few opportunities over the years where a symptom would try to come to my body. A thought would try to come to my mind. What do we do with it? No, Satan, it is written, by his stripes, I was healed. And I won't turn loose of that confession. I won't do it. I will not do it. Again, I've had some opportunities where something would come, but I'm not receiving it. That's not my flu. That's not my cold. That's not my whatever. No, it's not. It's not in the book. It doesn't belong to Jesus. It's not in the kingdom. I know where it came from. I know who it belongs to, and I return to sender in Jesus' name. I'm not having it that way. And again, most every time when somebody would try to come, and it's not even that often, it don't stick around very long. In most cases, not more than a few minutes. Amen. In some cases, an afternoon or an evening, but it's not sticking around at all. I don't give it place to. It cannot stay. It cannot stand. Amen. It is my confession, and I agree with God. If it comes even on me or near me, it dies. It has no right to live. I don't give it any place. The scripture says, give the devil no place. Amen. I know where to put him, under my feet. Get behind me, Satan. Cancer, sickness, disease, weakness, pain, even the thought, I cast you down and I bring you captive right now to the obedience of Christ. Amen. By his stripes, I was healed. That's the truth. Now, body, you get in line. Mind, straighten up. Amen. Soul, straighten up. I have no right to go around, you know, thinking thoughts of fear, depression, oppression. Matter of fact, I was reading my Bible this morning, and it says, he's not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. That's a peace. He says sound mind. He says that's peace. Amen. I've got the peace of God living on the inside of me. I've got no business thinking about anything else. Hallelujah to Jesus. Matter of fact, I also read this morning over in Philippians chapter 4, amen, he told me where to place my mind. If there's anything good, if there's anything lovely, if there's anything of a good report, think on those things. Amen. Mm-hmm. Think on what God has said. Meditate on what he has done for us. Amen. And now declare it in Jesus' name. Praise God. So with the heart, we believe that by his stripes we were healed, and it is with our mouth confession is made unto healing. So again, it's with my heart I believe, amen, concerning righteousness, and it's with my mouth confession is made unto righteousness. It's with my heart that I believe the word of God concerning healing, and it's with my mouth that I confess by his stripes I was healed unto healing. It's the same way, it's the same principle. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. Every part of the word of God will work the exact same way. Whatever God has said, the whole reason he said it and put it in the book is so that you could have faith for it, so that you would now confess it, so that he could be there to back every word of it. That's how he's going to accomplish his will in the earth. Amen. You and I are the establishing witnesses in the earth. We're the ones with the dominion and authority to get this thing done. Jesus, let's look again what Jesus has to say. Mark 11, 22-23, Jesus is teaching on faith. And it says, Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Now, again, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So we could just as easily say, have faith in God's Word. Have faith in God. Have faith in what He has said to you. Amen. Verse 23, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Amen. Amen. Now notice how Jesus phrased this sentence and where he places the emphasis. Jesus in verse 23 mentions believing one time, but he mentions says or saying three times. All right. Now I want to again point back to this Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I've got God's word, then I can have God's faith. That's how it comes. Amen. The primary issue here and what Jesus is really addressing is that believers, or today we would say Christians, it's not so much the believing part. Now, there's some things that we've got to clean up in our believing, yes, but believing really isn't the number one issue. It's the saying part. It's using your authority part. All right? Again, Jesus mentions saying three times. I want to highlight here, nowhere in the Bible does it teach that if you'll just have faith or that is just believe in your heart, you're going to get your breakthrough. If you'll just believe it in your heart, but silently, you know, just silent prayer. You can't silent pray. You've got to speak. Jesus said you've got to say to that mountain, not think to the mountain. Don't think about the mountain. Speak to the mountain. We just happen to have, there's a mural of, I know you can't see it on your screen, but there's a mural of mountains on this wall. So I just like to look over here at this mountain and say, you know what? Be removed, be cast into the sea by the eye of faith. I don't see you there anymore. Amen. Glory to God. So again, nowhere in the Bible does it teach you if you'll just believe in your heart, you're going to get your breakthrough. No, if faith is only in the heart, it's not really faith. Amen. And it won't work. It's only really going to become faith when it's activated coming out of your mouth. You've got to complete the process. Amen. I can't think my way through life. I've got to speak my way through life. Amen. Again, the title to today's message is Your Victory is in Your Mouth. Amen. Now, it needs to be in your heart, but it's got to come out of your mouth. Amen. Glory to God. Words, faith-filled words dominate. I also want to point out that nowhere in the Bible does it instruct us to pray to God to ask Him to move the mountains we're facing. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, hey, you know what? I know you need a breakthrough. If you'll just pray and ask God to take care of all that for you and then just give it to Him, He'll do it for you. No, that's not what he said. He said, no, you've got the word of God on this situation. Now speak to it. Speak to it. Again, I'm going on 12 plus years in full-time ministry. I spent the first 10 years working on a prayer line. Also became a team lead and a supervisor over that prayer line. I also spent a lot of time, you know, in a large church working at the altar with folks after church. So a lot of one-on-one, whether it be on the phone or in person or another ministry opportunities. So many times, this is where believers are falling short. They are praying to God to do something about the mountains in their lives, instead of recognizing that they're the ones with the authority and they have no revelation of Mark 11:23, or they're just lazy because they don't take the time to actually, you know what? I recognize what the word says and now I have to act on this word to speak to this mountain. Mountain, be removed. Sickness and disease, you be removed. I can't put off on God what He's charged me to do. He gave me the authority to deal with it. Amen. Now, He's expected. I've given you my word. I've given you Christ. I've given you the blood. I've given you this new life. I've given you everything that you could ever need. I put my spirit in you to lead you and guide you unto all truth. Now speak, just speak, and this thing will move for you the same as it does for me. Amen. This is how I designed it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Where are we at here? Luke 10:19. Again, this is Jesus' red words. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've given you all the authority. There's nothing that the devil possesses that he has on me. Amen. Whatever it is, he doesn't have it on me. He doesn't have it on you. But if what authority? Authority. What am I going to do with authority? I've got to exercise authority. Amen. Or I can abdicate authority and lay it aside. And you look back in history, there are kings, rulers who have done that. And it's not gone well. Amen. Kings have to embrace, I am a king. I have this authority, and with this comes responsibility. Amen. Every man, woman is responsible to walk in the authority that God has delegated to them. I can't just turn around. I don't want to have to fight that. So I'm just going to give it over to you, God. You do something about it. After all, you're God. No, don't work that way. It won't work that way. No. Jesus, Mark 11:23, charges us to have faith in God, or have faith in God's word. To paraphrase this, have faith in your heart in what God has said, and now go speak to sickness, poverty, lack, debt, whatever it is, it will flee from you. It'll flee from you. Go be cast out into the sea, never to return. You tell it, it'll flee from you. Amen. Again, this goes all the way back to God's original intent in Genesis 1:26-28. For time's sake, I reference these things, but we're not going to turn to all them. But what did God say? Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image and after our likeness. God created you a speaking spirit just like Himself, who's going to function exactly the way He does. You can look back and see how He functioned. Light be, light was. Light, and again, He goes down the line. He's creating using words. He's using dominion and authority using words. And then He does all of that, verse 6, and then he speaks to the man, and He gives him that same authority. He says, now you rule over the earth. You don't have rulership over all the universe. I'm giving you rulership over the earth. You subdue it. Take dominion over it. Everything that flies, creeps, whatever it is, you have authority, and now you're to subdue it and take dominion. With that came responsibility. Adam and Eve, what did they do? Well, they did all right for a little while, and then they gave up that, and they took of the fruit, and then they bowed the knee to Satan, and Satan became the god of this world. That was never the intent of God, but that's what happened. But for a little while, it was functioning. We can see more about that in Genesis 2:7. We see that God created man, a speaking spirit, just like Him. We saw how that actually operated in Genesis 2:19. We saw Father was going to the dust of the ground. He would form animals. He brings it to Adam. And the Bible says, whatever Adam called this is what it became. Whatever name He gave it, that's became its identity. Owl, eagle, giraffe, rhinoceros, that defined it, right? God never changed His mind. This is supposed to be God and sons working together in creation, and He did it through words. Adam wasn't tending the garden by getting his shovel out and rooting out little wheat. No, He was speaking. He was speaking. He was ordering. That's exactly how Daddy did it. That's exactly how Son did it. The second Adam, Jesus, did it the exact same way. He didn't do it another way. This is how he came. Amen. Revealing the kingdom. This is how the kingdom functions. This is how it operates. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. Again, in Adam, all men die. In Christ, all men live. John 14:10-12. This is Jesus. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Now, hear this. Jesus didn't go off just saying whatever he wanted. Adam didn't just name this thing a giraffe because he thought of it in his head. He got it by the Spirit of God, by revelation knowledge. He knew what to do. He saw the spirit of seeing and knowing is what we would call that today. One of the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gift of seeing and knowing. He knew exactly what I needed to. How did you name all of these animals, all of these bugs? How did you know how to do it? By the Spirit of God. That's how he did it. There was no toil. There's no self-effort in this. He's resting completely in God to hear from God, to speak his word, and whatever he would say in line with what God has said, it would work every time. Amen, because it was really God who did it. Jesus reveals this to us. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Yeah, but you're Jesus. You're the Christ. Doesn't matter. Doesn't work that way. That's not how this operates. He did not come as deity. He came as Son of Man, anointed by God. He says, but the Father who lives in me does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also, and he will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Wow. Truly, truly. I mean, Jesus is like, hey, no, really, you believe me. It's going to work this way for you too. Amen. Because understand, this doesn't work because I'm Jesus. This doesn't work because I am the Son of God. Here is Son of Man. That's not how it operates. It didn't work at all that way. It works because I took the time to get before my Father and stay there. I'm not moving to the left. I don't have a better idea. Well, I think maybe. I just don't see how that could turn out. No. Father, if that's what you said, I know that's what you want to do. So whatever I see to do, whatever I hear in my spirit to do, I'm going to do it. And it's going to work. You can have full assurance of faith that when you've heard from God, you step out on a word from God, it's going to work for you every single time because that's what it's designed to do. That is the flow. That's how the kingdom of God is to operate in the earth, is through a man. Every time, it's through a man. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. You remember back in Genesis 1, God delegates a dominion and authority to them. He said, I have this, but now I'm taking what I have and I'm giving it to you. I don't have that anymore. It belongs to the man. God never took it back. So from then on, all the speaking that was done in the earth has to come through a man. That's why Adam had to be the one to name the animals. God no longer had the authority to name that animal. He had given it away. This was the power of it even after he fell. It says God, he's on the outside looking in. He had to progressively get his word back through a man who would believe, starting with Abraham. Amen. Abraham had faith. Abraham believed God, and God progressively revealed himself, and down through the prophets. Again, what were the prophets? They were God's mouthpiece. They would speak what God would move on them to speak this and to write this and to do that. They would do it. They would say it, and God would be there to reveal it and to manifest it. That's how it functioned until Christ came, amen, to get us back to this place, but the MO, the method of operation, has never changed. It functions the exact same way. God has got to get faith into your heart so he can get that word coming out of your mouth so that he can do it. He wants to do it all over this planet. Amen. It's not about God's want to. It's not about his ability. It's about our getting into alignment with how he functions. And this is the word of faith, which we preach. Believe in your heart. Confess what God has said out of your mouth. God's there to do it. That's what he wants to do. He just needs you to say yes, to be that establishing witness. This is Father and Son working together in creation. We're going to spend eternity doing this exact same thing. What you saw in the garden, what you saw in the life of Jesus, we're going to spend eternity doing that. Now, you and I get to participate in that right now because we're in the kingdom right now. The Father's in us right now. Amen. Glory to God. His Spirit's in us right now, just as it was. So again, how are we going to do the same and even greater works the exact same way Jesus did it? It's not Rodney doing it. It's not Dorothy doing it. It's not Paul doing it. It's the Father dwelling in us who's doing the works. Amen. Glory to God, through words, through faith-filled words. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, it's alive and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the word of God. The word of God contains the power of God. Again, Hebrews 1:3 says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Amen. Everything, the whole universe, from light being on down the line and forever, everything's being upheld by his word. Amen. Your life, your existence, your very next breath, all of it is being upheld by his word. Every creative action that will ever take place is being manifest through his word. Amen. Healing through his word. Salvation through his word. Provision through his word. Everything comes the exact same way. It's the word of God that's alive and it's active. Thank you, Jesus. I was meditating on this, just to kind of help our thinking. Think of the word of God containing the power and the ability of God. And so I imagine it in my mind like a capsule. Healing. That word, seven-letter word, healing. And when I speak healing, I picture that as a container, if you want to, like a little capsule going out of my mouth. Healing. Right? When I spoke that word of healing and I gave it a direction, so he said, you go lay hands on the sick in my name, they shall recover. Be healed in Jesus' name. What's being released? Healing is being released. And it just helps me in my thinking. I just see this living capsule going into your body and then just going throughout your body, just ministering healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Provision. These little word containers are just going out, going out, going out. Amen. Yeah. We speak to our day. When we start our day off in the morning, speak words of faith. Set the course for your day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing. Why? Because God's in it. Amen. Because God in me is in this day. Just let it flow up out of you. Amen. This is the day, amen, I receive those divine appointments, divine connections. I thank you, Lord. I'm walking in healing today. I receive that what you have for me, I will see it. I will do it. It will be fully accomplished all for your glory. Just let it start. Let this rise up out of your heart. Start speaking the word over your day. Speak the word over your life. Speak the word over your family. Speak it over your church. Speak it over your community. Faith. Filled words are going to dominate, and this word is going out of my mouth somewhere to happen today. Amen. The scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, he tells us that. Isaiah 55, glory to God. Thank you for the word. So, 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now again, how is he going to get that word out? Through your mouth. Turn over a page. Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips. That's your confession. That's your mouth. He says, I'll create the fruit of it. You just got to speak it. Speak to the mountain. Speak to your body. Speak to your finances. Speak over your family. I'll create it. I'll create it. If I've given you this word, if I said in Acts 16:31, you and your household shall be saved, speak it. I'll create it. I'll do it. I'll back it. That's why I wrote it in the book. So you'd believe it. So you would say it. So I could do it. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's why Jesus wore those stripes. That's why I put in the book, by his stripes you were healed. So you'd believe it. So you'd say it. So I could do it. That's why I said in Philippians 4:19, I'm going to meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why? So you'd believe it. So you'd say it. So I could do it. That's how it works. Jesus said, it's not me. It's not because I'm so special. I'm so wonderful. I am the Christ. But that's not how it works. That's not why it works. It works because I heard from God and I said what he's told me to say, and he's there doing the word. He's there performing that work. He's the one raising the dead today. He's the one healing the blind, healing the lame. Amen. He's the one that said, hey, go throw your hook in over here and catch this fish, and there'll be a piece of gold in his mouth to pay your taxes. That's the wisdom of God. Yes, pay our taxes. That's what he said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James 4:7. Again, activate your faith. It's voice activated. James 4:7. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Have faith in God. Submit yourself to the Word of God. They're one and the same. You can't separate God from his Word. He is the Word. Submit yourselves to God, or submit yourselves to his Word. Resist the devil. Number one, submit to God. Number two, resist the devil. Number three says, he will flee from you. He's not going to flee because I prayed to God. God, deal with that. Oh, he says, you submit to the word. By his stripes, Rodney, you're healed. Sir, yes, sir, I receive, I'm healed. Sickness and disease tries to come. Thought tries to come. Now, no, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. It is written, you have been defeated, for by his stripes, I was healed. Get behind me, get under my feet. Who do you think you are? And the Bible says he will flee from you. When Jesus was out in the wilderness being tempted, the devil didn't flee because he's the Christ. He fleed because Jesus stood on the word, and Jesus repeatedly told him, opened his mouth and says, no, Satan, here's the truth. It is written, amen. And it says the devil left him for a better time. He put Satan on the run with the word of God. It didn't work because he's the Christ. It worked because it's the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Amen. He says, so therefore, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. And how are we standing? On the truth. On the truth. Let's just turn over there. Ephesians 6. I know we did a whole study on this here a little time back, and I would encourage you to go back and just feed on this. Feed on this. Feed on this. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I've been in ministry for, again, a little over 12 years now. And I'm studying and I'm still reading more than I ever have. Because here's the thing, this doesn't work for me because I'm a pastor, because I'm anointed, or I'm this or I'm that. I've got to get in the word just as much, and I've got to get in the word double. Amen. Because I am in ministry. But I've got to get in the word for myself, and I've got to get in the word again, for you to hear from God. Amen. But this doesn't work because I'm somebody or you're somebody. It works because it's the word. So again, Ephesians chapter 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So you know what? There's going to come a time. Lord, if there's anything in my life that I need to repent of, you show it to me, and I'm going to repent of it, and I'm going to get it out of my life. Check. I did my spiritual checkup. I don't have any sin that I'm aware of in my life, and Holy Spirit, if I am, you bring it to me, and we're going to get it out. We're going to get this right. By his stripes, I was healed. Well, I believe I received my healing, and I'm not turning loose of my confession. Again, I'm not, James, I'm not double-minded about it. No, I'm singular focused. I'm not believing according to the body. I'm not believing according to the mind. I'm believing according to the Spirit and truth, and I'm healed by his stripes. And I've done everything I know to do to stand. And so Paul is writing over here, having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, and keep on standing. Having, again, this is past tense. So again, he said, having girded yourself with truth. Again, by his stripes, I was healed. I've girded myself with truth. I'm not entertaining any other thought than truth. Anything else, Satan, it's written, you get behind me. It says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a clean and pure conscience before God. Amen. If there is something in my life, I'm repenting of it. I stand before God in Jesus' name without spot or wrinkle. Amen. I know who I am, and I know my rights before God. All right. He says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all or out in front of everything, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench, or that is extinguish, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the wicked one, what does he do? He throws darts, fiery darts. Here's a symptom. Here's a thought. Here's a distraction. Here's this, here's that. No, I've got the shield of faith. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Get behind me, Satan. You keep that shield of faith up, you stand, and have it not all to stand, your victory is already won. Amen. And it's about to be fully manifest in your life, whatever that is. It might be healing. It might be something in your soul. It might be your finances. It could be. You stand on the word of God, it'll work for you because that's what it's designed to do. Amen. But understand there is some opposition in this life. You're taking back ground from the devil. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, boys. I've already overcome. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Victory is already assured. Victory's already won. I don't have to get the victory. I just have to stand in agreement with the victory. Amen. That's my job. That's my job, to be the establishing witness. Jesus said we're to occupy until he comes. We've been spending too much time being occupied, but we're here to occupy. I'm here to take ground. Amen. I'll take that ground. I'll take that ground. Amen. And keep on taking. Having not all to stand, I'm standing. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by his stripes. Amen. So I'm not just standing here on the sideline. No, I'm taking the word of God and out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus, get behind me. In the name of Jesus, it's written. Amen. This is not just a defensive war. I'm not just taking body blows from the enemy all day long. No, I'm out here. I've got my shield of faith. Get behind me, slash. Get behind me, slash. Amen. The devil's going to run. The devil will flee from you when you take your stand of faith. He will. He can't just stand in there and take the word of God hitting him upside the head all day long. He can't do it. He will not do it. The word will work for you. Amen. The word, say the word will work for me the same as it did for Jesus. As he said, greater works shall I do because he has gone to the Father. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we just didn't get as far in my notes as I thought we would. But there's next Sunday. Amen. Yes, yes. Well, Paul, yes, Paul is going to be here next Sunday, and then I'll be back the Sunday after. And actually, I wouldn't count on wrapping this up then either, but we'll see. Because I had some more I didn't even put in here today, but I just, this is powerful. This is where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Again, it's too many times, number one, people are either ignorant of God's will. Yes, I know God can heal. Yes, I know that he can provide. I just don't know if he wants to or how to get him to do it for me. So, you know, God will and God won't. And sometimes he will and sometimes he won't. And let's just believe God and die and go broke and struggle and stay in bondage to sin. Why? Or they're praying. They get their whole prayer groups together and they pray and they pray and they pray. Oh, God, would you please heal? Oh, God, would you please provide? Oh, God, would you please? They're doing the best they can. But ignorance will get you killed. God said in Hosea 4:6, my people, the world's perishing. We know that. He says, but my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That hurts. Don't you know that hurts the heart of God to see his people, who he's paid an awesome price to give them victory and to see them live in defeat and even turn around and blame him? Ignorance. God loves you. He's still there for you. Amen. But we don't have to live that way. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Jesus paid an awesome price. But he cannot change the method of operation. If he said, you've got to speak to this mountain, if he said, you've got to submit to the word, if you've got to resist the devil, he's going to flee from you, that's the only way it will work. God's not making an exception because he loves you so much. He loves everybody. This is just how it works. Jesus came to reveal that to us, to teach that to us. You go out throughout the New Testament, you see it over again. This is what Paul was revealing to us. This is the word of faith. You believe it in your heart. You confess it out of your mouth. It'll work. It'll work. That's how it works. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor Paula, do you have anything on that?
Well, Pastor, he's given us tools to live our life. Amen. This is not just some fluffy, feel-good message to come to church and be edified, but this is absolutely learning how to live our lives and how to impact, you know, see the change in our lives and be able to impact our community, our families, and those around us to take the ground that Jesus already paid the price for. Praise God. This is absolutely the tools we need to live a victorious life. And so thank you for sharing these.
Praise God. We want to go ahead and pray this, and we're going to receive communion in a minute. Amen. But before we do that, amen, let's all stand. Again, we share this Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. If you believe it in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. So let us all pray this together. And again, you have to open your mouth. You can't just think salvation. You've got to declare your salvation in Jesus' name. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For the power of your word.
For the power of your word.
We confess now.
We confess now.
With our mouths.
With our mouths.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And we believe in our hearts.
And we believe in our hearts.
That you raised him.
That you've raised him.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We receive.
We receive.
Your gift.
Your gift.
Of salvation.
Of salvation.
Of forgiveness.
Of forgiveness.
And cleansing.
And cleansing.
And our new life.
And our new life.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We believe according to the word of God that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. And we call you brother. We call you sister in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. But Pastor Paula, would you lead us in communion?
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. There online, if you don't have your communion elements, you can just pause. Go get you some bread, some juice, whatever you have, and receive communion right along with us. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the word says here, "For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was delivered up and while his betrayal was in progress, he took bread." Praise God. Thank you, Lord. "And when he took bread, he gave thanks. He broke it. And he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately in remembrance.'" Go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Lord. We receive all that you did. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, "Surely he bore our griefs, our sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses. He carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. And the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we have been made whole."
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We are healed, and we receive that as we have taken the bread. And we thank you, Father, for that. And similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup. Praise God. "He took the cup also, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you think to call me affectionately to remembrance.'" And so let's just take a moment. Pastor Rodney just preached an awesome message. And part of that is taking time to go before the Lord and examine ourselves. So let's just take a moment, those here, those online, and just check in our heart if there's anything we need to give to him, and allow this, as we get ready to take the blood, to just wash over us. So we'll just take a moment. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blood covenant. We thank you for washing every part of us, that your word says you don't even remember our sins. You don't even remember. And so, Father, I thank you for washing over the minds of the people, washing over the hearts, washing over every cell of our body with this liquid love. We receive it. Hallelujah. We receive it. Go ahead and take of the cup.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. God is good all the time. Amen. And your victory is in your mouth. Praise God. Well, we just want to let you know that God loves you. We love you.
And in him
we are living in victory.